Merciful God, we praise you again this morning. We worship you. As we have just sung, you are our King. Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we love you. And as we continue to worship you this morning, Father, we just want to lift up these our loved ones to you in prayer. Thank you that Hans is home after 2 or 3 weeks in the Mayo Hospital. Thank you that Helen is back with us after surgery. Thank you for comforting those that have lost loved ones these last days and weeks again. Thank you for walking with each of us through this valley that sometimes gets difficult. Thank you for walking with each of us on this pathway called life. Gracious Father, we lift up to you these that are in hospital beds this morning, struggling, perhaps even clinging to life. We pray that you would be there. May your goodness and grace hold them, comfort them, encourage them, strengthen, and heal. We do know and pray that you heal. We have some very sick friends, Father. We just want to lift them up to you this morning and ask for your intervention. And so I lift up all those on the prayer list to you, Lord. And there could be many more. But we lift them up to you this morning and ask, Father, and pray, thy will be done. And I lift up to you again this morning, Father, our city, our communities from which we come this morning. I pray for those that don't know you, Father. We've been reminded here with the funeral Friday that life can end in a moment. We need to plan for eternity. And I pray for those people that were here. Many of them are classmates of mine and friends of ours from Staples Motley area. And I just pray for each and every one of them today, Lord, that today would be another day that they think about eternity. And I pray that our town here, Lord, where we live, would make preparations for heaven, never knowing when we might draw our last breath. Oh, we praise you, Father, for the whole idea that you loved us so much you sent your Son. We praise you so much this morning, Father, for being willing to forgive us from our sin. Our sins have been many. Mine, ours, this nation, our sins have been many. And we ask this morning, Father, that you would forgive us of our sin and help us draw near to you and be surrendered to you and be Spirit-filled. And so, Father God, I just pray for salvation to come to people today. In churches, but out of churches. Maybe they're listening to the radio. Maybe they're listening to Facebook Live. Maybe they're listening to a television broadcast. Maybe they're not listening to any of it, but your voice is speaking to them. Oh, I pray that people would turn to you today. Be born again. Be filled with the Holy Ghost of God and walk on a new pathway in life. Thank you, Father. You've been so good to us. Thank you for this Easter season. May churches be filled in these upcoming weeks with people ready, desiring, anxious to worship you. And so we commit this day, this service, and this season to you. And say and pray, thy will be done, O God. In the name of Jesus our Lord, I pray. Amen. Which brings to mind, I was going to mention this anyway, because several people have asked me since we had our last, what shall I call it, anointing with oil and laying on of hands session, which wasn't that long ago. Several people have asked me, when can we do it again? I think we should do it next week because it's Palm Sunday. It's a good time to do that again. And so next week we will do that. I was planning that anyway. And so come ready to be prayed for and or be willing and able, ready to lay hands on others that may need a prayer and some anointing with oil. So we will do that next week. And you've heard, and we will do that at both services. And you have heard Tim already say that on the second service, our children will have a little skit for us, a Palm Sunday kind of a skit. And so we will have first service as usual and a time of prayer and anointing with oil afterwards. In our second service, we will take the time that we have for this, but we'll also hear from our kids in a little short skit. I don't think it's too long, but they want to put it together, and we're just I'm just so glad that they're willing to be part of the service. You see, we need to include our children in the service. Amen? It isn't just for adults to worship the Lord or know the Lord, and so next week we'll have our children perform a little short play for us in the second service. And we will take time for laying on of hands and anointing oil with oil next Sunday in both services as we celebrate the triumphal entry. Now, we've been talking about We Wonder Why, and today is the last session of that because next week is Palm Sunday and the following Easter. But I've been thinking about this. I've been very, very busy this week, and so I haven't had the time to meditate and prepare for my sermon as I should have. And so if it sounds mumbled and out of sorts, it probably is mumbled and out of sorts. But here's my heart. We've been addressing this question, why do kids like these 17 get shot? And we talked about the fact that when you take God out of a nation, we saw from Scripture that we do what's right in our own eyes. Okay, we talked about that. Some of you are here. Wasn't that long ago. Hopefully you haven't forgotten it. Then we talked about from Ezekiel 34, there is a responsibility by the shepherds to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We talked about the shepherds need to shepherd. Amen? We church leaders need to shepherd. This needs to be our text. If this isn't the shepherd's text, we do what's right in our own eyes. And we already have seen that gets us in trouble. As nations, as churches, as individuals. But I think I would be shortchanging us if I didn't also address the church. Okay, so we've addressed. We take God out of the nation, we know what's happened. And I know that God is at work in this nation, in places around, in pockets all over this nation. I know that He is. I see that His hand is at work, and I praise God. He hasn't just abandoned us completely to our own doing what's right in our own eyes. And I know there are shepherds proclaiming the good news all over, and I praise God for that. But we also must address, when we ask this question, we wonder why these things happen. We must address, and I talked about this just briefly. I made the statement a couple times last week. Where's the church? When bad things are going bad and seems like things are going to heck in a handbasket, we must ask our church, is the church alive? In Revelation, we can see, I'm not going to turn to that today, I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 37. You can turn there if you want. I could turn to Revelation because Jesus addresses the dead church. And so when we ponder that question and we wonder, why are these things happening? We address all of these things, and we must also ask, is the church alive and Spirit-led? We too, as a church, have a responsibility to be light. Is not that what Jesus called us to be? Brothers and sisters, this would mean yes. Work with me here. He called us to be light, and He called us to be salt, and He called us to love our neighbors. Is not the church supposed to do these things? So we have a responsibility in the culture, in the society, in the outcome of our nation. The church has a responsibility too. And so as we continue to answer this question as to why, I want to address the church just a little bit today and also ask an answer, is there any hope? And I believe there is. I believe there's hope. I believe, brothers and sisters, the hope is in Jesus. And the hope of the church in America and around the world today is in Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers. If we are going to try to operate in the flesh, we're doing what's right in our own eyes. We must be led by the Spirit in everyday living. What we communicate on Facebook, how we respond to our boss, our subordinates, how we respond to the IRS. We must be Spirit-led in how we love our enemies. Oh yeah, Jesus said to do that too. Loving our enemies. If we go about all this by the flesh, we're doing what's right in our own eyes. The church must bow at the name of Jesus. And the church must welcome in and implore for more of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that will lead us in the paths of righteousness and to be alive, and things will change because of the Spirit of God, not because of Jim or any other preacher or any other church, but the Holy Spirit. And we must recognize if anything is ever going to change in America, the church has to come alive in the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Ezekiel 37. Are you familiar with Ezekiel? How many of you are pretty familiar with Ezekiel? Okay, I better give you a little background. Ezekiel is a man that was carried away from Jerusalem at 597 BC to Babylon. We are aware of that, are we not? The children of Israel, Old Testament, they didn't obey God. Over and over and over, God sent them prophets like Isaiah, and you know the stories. But there come a point in time when God said, enough is enough. And out of the prophet Jeremiah, he said very clearly, my people are going to go into captivity for 70 years. And God used Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to squash his people. This was punishment. This was judgment. And these people got carried away in three different waves. You might remember the name Daniel. He got carried in his contemporaries in 605 BC. In 597, Ezekiel, as a young man, got carried away as a captive, 597. In 586, Nebuchadnezzar comes back to Jerusalem. He kills off most of the rest of the people and takes those that are captive, and they go into captivity in Babylon. And so we've got the Jewish people now in Israel, per se, no more. They're done there. From flagrant disregard of the commands of God, they have been, for the time, eliminated. The only ones that are surviving are in captivity someplace, many of them in Babylon. Ezekiel is in captivity. When you read Ezekiel, you see a number of visions. I mentioned to you last week how God called Ezekiel to address the shepherds. You remember that if you were here. Well, in 37, we get to this point, this vision that Ezekiel has here. He has now been there for 25 years. And he gets yet another vision from God, and I call this a vision of hope. We need some hope once in a while. Amen? Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many, that's bones, in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. You see, this vision is simply this. The nation of Israel, for all practical purposes, had died. Flagrant disregard for God and His Word. He warned them over and over and over for nearly 1,000 years between the time they came out of Egypt and walked into the Promised Land and went into captivity in Babylon. He warned them over and over and over, repent and turn back to me, or this day will come when they are no more. And so Ezekiel is lifted up in the spirit and brought to this valley, and the valley floor is covered in human bones. As a nation, they have been destroyed. They've been carried away into captivity. And as a nation that used to be prosperous and worshiping the Lord and receiving the blessings of God back in Israel and back in Jerusalem, that was all no more. Now what represented Israel was this valley floor full of dead men's bones. There was many, Ezekiel says, and they were very dry. Verse 3, and he, the Lord, said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? How would you answer? If God asked you or asked me, can the church again in America live? Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. I will tell you this, brothers and sisters. Humanly speaking, they were dead. They were dry. They were done. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes on the scene, the Son of God comes into your life and to mine and to our neighbors and our family and our friends and to a nation, things happen. Humanly speaking, to answer the question when Ezekiel was asked, Son of man, can these bones live? Humanly speaking, the answer is no. They're dead. If you turn to the New Testament, which we won't have time today, I can see that already. In Ephesians chapter 2, you will see that Paul reminded us we were dead also. We were dead until we came to Christ and came alive. Now, God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And so I answered, Lord, O Lord God, you know. And verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I think it's time that the church gets the same message in America. And I praise God for what he's doing in America because he has a work. But as a nation, we have said, God, we don't need you. As pastors and shepherds, way too often times we have forgotten the counsel of God. And as a church, we need to ask the same questions that he's asking here. Can it live again? Will it live? Will we depend upon the Holy Spirit of God? And when he says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I think it is time for the church in America to hear this same phrase that says, hear the word of the Lord, dry bones in America. That thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Hallelujah. I will, this is God, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. He's beginning to reconstruct the deadness of Israel. And I believe he wants to reconstruct the deadness of the church today. He said, I will start with the tendons. I will start with the sinews. I will add flesh to it. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can live, but we must include, involve, and surrender to the Son of God and to the Spirit of God and let Him lead us. And then He says, when you come to life again, O Israel and church, then you shall know I am the Lord. When you come to life again, when you can see that I have brought deadness to life, He said, then you will know I am the Lord. I believe there's hope in America. I believe that hope is in Christ. I believe that hope is in when the church and the leaders of the church, myself included, surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only place our hope is going to be. So I prophesied, Ezekiel said. As I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Somebody should make a movie about this. Some of y'all just saw a really good movie, and I hope to see it soon myself. And there's a lot of good Christian movies out there. But this would make another one, bones to bones, rattling, and life beginning to come back into these bones. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath. There was a body, but there was no breath. Do you see the analogy here, brothers and sisters? In the flesh only, we can't do it. We need the breath of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And a church just going through the mechanics of being church in the flesh is never going to be in the will of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And so he saw these rattling of bones. He saw the sinews coming back on, the flesh, the skin, and he saw that they were whole in the flesh. But he said, there still wasn't any breath in them. I believe that the church of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we must rise up and we must pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We cannot just be a body of flesh. We need the Holy Spirit. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I commanded, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. See, this is a picture of the nation of Israel coming back to life. They had been chastened, they had been judged, they were in captivity. Thousands, tens of thousands had been killed off. It was a judgment of God, but he was about to breathe life back into his people. And I believe he wants to do that for America again today. Breathe life back into his people. He then said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. They had been, because of rejection of God and His Word, they had been cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I believe, brothers and sisters, the church in America, oh, I love the church. There's no place I'd rather be is in the church, worshiping with you, praying, teaching, preaching, fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, introducing people to Christ, helping people when they've lost a loved one. There's no place I'd rather be, but I believe the church in America needs a resurrection from the deadness of our state. Of our status, I mean. I believe the church needs a resurrection like we saw this resurrection of Israel in Ezekiel 37. And I believe we need to pray. I believe we need to cry out to God in repentance of sin and cry out for a new pouring of His Spirit. So the church, again, will be people that are pointing people to Christ, that are loving our neighbors, that are loving our enemies, that we are salt in everyday living, not being conformed to the image of the world any longer, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds and being holy people that God has called us to be. I believe, brothers and sisters, that God is trying and willing and desiring to resurrect the church and breathe new life into us. I believe that we need exactly what happened here. Prophesy. Prophesy, he said. Behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And again he says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. When we've seen the hand of God all over again, transforming us, redeeming us, breathing life into us, we will know He is God. When I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves, I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I got a lot more, but I'm needing to wrap up. The time on the wall says so. And so let me say this, brothers and sisters, today. If the church today, I'm not talking about denominations, I'm talking about people that claim to know Christ. If the church is going to live disobedient to God like Israel did and continue our wayward living, we will become nothing but dry bones. The church of God cannot live only in the flesh like I fear too much of the time is happening. I give you some examples last week, but I will say it again. The church of God, friends, cannot live and do what's right in our own eyes. We must live according to the Word of God. We must live and be led by the Spirit of God. Part of the reason, I've given us three different reasons when we talk about we wonder why. Part of the reason, because some of the church is still dead bones. Some of the church hasn't allowed the Son of God to really change us and the Spirit of God to come in and move us in God's direction. Part of the responsibility is for us in the church. And so, you see, friends, we have an obligation to God. We in the church, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about we that claim Christ as Lord. We have an obligation to God, we who used to be dead, to live for Christ whom He has made us alive. We have an obligation to live for Him as if we were alive, not in the world and dead any longer. If we claim the name of Christ and we have the Holy Spirit of God that has come into us, we have the capability. Is it easy? Not really. But we have the capability and the capacity and the wherewithal to live for Christ and live like we're alive, not just a valley of bunch of dead bones. We are commanded, I said this earlier, to be light. We are commanded to be salt. We are commanded to love our neighbors. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what color their skin is or sexual persuasion or anything else. We are commanded to love our neighbors and love our enemies. That is the church alive and not just dead bones. People of God, May I say this to close and wrap this up? May we live as though we have been made alive. I believe in the hope of Jesus. I believe there is hope through Jesus. I believe there's still hope even when it looks like the valley floor is covered in dead men's bones. You say, how, Jim, is there hope? I'll be very brief and give very, very simplistically. Sister, we're going to get ready to play. You must be born again. John 3:5. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to take the time now. Time is up. You must be born again. This is not a denominational thing either. It is a Jesus thing. We were born of the flesh once already. We need to be born of the Spirit by surrendering our life to Christ. I've told you this. I've quoted Billy Graham over and over since he passed away. Repent of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means embrace Him and follow Him. That means turn from who I used to be and start following Jesus. That's being born again. We must follow Jesus. I've quoted to you over and over this year since we started the other series, the beginning of the year, Luke 6:46, and Jesus said, why do you even call me Lord? And then don't do what I say. That's not a living church. Saying I'm a Christian all day long and not doing what He says, that's not where He would have us to be. I'm simply saying to us, friends, I believe there is hope, but the church has to be Spirit-led. We've got to set our agendas. We've got to set our flesh behind us and follow the Spirit of God and let Him lead us in the paths of righteousness for His glory. That is our hope, and I still believe there's hope. God, we praise You. Life is doable because of You, because of Jesus, because of Your Spirit. And not only doable in the flesh or as a bunch of dead and dry bones, but in life, we have life more abundantly in Jesus. He said it. I pray for the church, O God, that we would live the abundant life in Jesus Christ, led by Your Spirit, filled by Your Spirit, living holy lives, letting the light of Jesus radiate out from Your church. And so this world, this great nation that we live in, will see the light and be drawn to Christ. God, we need You. Pour out Your Spirit on the church. Revive us, O Lord. Save souls. Redeem the lost. Set the captives free. Transform. Renew. Set us on the path that leads to life, and help us, Father, not to be even trying to do it in the flesh, but to be led by Your Spirit and bring You glory as we live for You. Go with us, Lord, this week and as we prepare for Easter in the Spirit of the living God. For it's in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I pray. Amen.